Right now, we welcome author Daniel Ruchko to UK Talk Radio. We're going to be finding out more about his fantastic book, which is called Pieces of a Broken Mind. It's a raw and honest portrayal of Richard Bright, a struggling Seattle writer with dreams too big for a single lifetime. And he must pay some prices for his dreams. Let's find out more about this fantastic book. Let's catch up with Daniel.
By far my favorite station.
You're the best.
Oh yeah. I love you guys.
This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy. Enjoy.
By far my favorite station.
You're the best.
Oh yeah. I love you guys.
Daniel, you've got a fantastic book out, some great reviews of it. It takes us into a world which I guess many people would dream of being a part of. But for the main character, it's not really a dream world. The book is called Pieces of a Broken Mind. So tell us a little bit about your main character and also about the story itself.
All right. So the main character's name is Richard Bright. He's a struggling writer from Seattle, dreaming of bigger things. Like, he has an office job that he's not happy with. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. And then at some point, he gets a phone call to go to Los Angeles and turn his book into a movie. Apparently, his dreams are about to come true. So he's struggling because also his mother is sick. So he's kind of in between where he's feeling like, okay, should I stay here and take care of my mom or should I take this opportunity? Luckily, his mother helps him out and she's like, no, you have to go. And so he takes his best friend with him and they go on a big adventure to go to Los Angeles and exploring the world of Hollywood. Yep.
And the story itself, it deals with the highs and lows of fame, the whole process of it, really.
Yeah, so it's because I came to LA from Germany, actually. So there is a lot of, not a lot, but there is some autobiographical stuff in there, like stuff that I experienced when I was over there, because same thing. You dream of Hollywood and you have your perception of it. But when you get there, it can be quite different. I'm not saying it's all bad, not at all. Like, there is definitely a lot of opportunities. But yeah, there is with every high, there is a low. The higher you fly, the lower you fall. And so my main character has to experience exactly that. And also ask the question if what we think we want is actually really what will make us happy and what we have to risk to get it. And is it all worth it at the end, I think.
I mean, that's a really good point, isn't it? Because people can look at other people's lifestyle, they can look at fame or fortune and maybe not realize the full cost that somebody has to pay to achieve it.
Absolutely. I keep telling that people all the time, because we all look good on social media and all our lives look good on social media because you don't show yourself crying in the shower or something like that.
But, very true.
But yeah, I mean, people, especially where I grew up, people always are like, oh, Daniel went to LA and is living the life. But yeah, of course, there are prices to pay. Exactly the same thing my character is dealing with. My mom is sick. So I left, actually, and also the like little things or like getting a visa and stuff like that. Of course, my main character doesn't have to deal with that because, well, he's an American, but that was stuff I had to deal with. So, yeah, so I think in the book, it's kind of interesting for people who've never been to LA. They will see a site they probably don't know about, but also for people that are from LA or have been there, they will definitely recognize a lot of things. And that was kind of my approach for that.
And also your main character, and I guess we hear this often, whether it's the music business or actors or actresses, that kind of self-destruction, and your character has got some self-destruction, which is going on.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he is struggling from anxiety, and it's kind of interesting because when I first came to the States, I never heard about Xanax. I don't know anybody taking Xanax over here. But it seems like in LA, everybody has a prescription, which is just insane to me because, of course, the more you take, the less resilient you are to stress. But of course, it is a very stress-inducing industry, I guess. Like, everybody is trying to outshine the other one. So I think it is easy to fall into something like that. And especially when you have a lot of success and you feel like you have to top your last thing or something like that. So, yeah. So my main character is definitely spiraling down a little bit because he feels that what he thought he wanted is not really making him happy in the long run.
You've told us that the setup for the story and the predicaments that your main character is going to face, but obviously writing is a long process, a solitary process. So, Daniel, tell me a little bit about the process for you.
So I'm used to writing screenplays, and this is my first novel. And the crazy thing about that, and it's probably going to be hard to believe, I wrote it in 6 weeks because wow. I had this idea in my head for a couple of years, actually, but I think I had some living to do to actually fill it with all the experiences I have now to make it the book it is now. But then naturally, my brain was always like kind of generating ideas. And without me actively having to do something. So when I decided to start writing, I just sat down and wrote. And I wrote a chapter or two every day until I was done. And honestly, like I don't know what it is, but I feel like my brain just generates ideas and stories in a very natural way. So I never have a moment where I'm stuck. And I just keep writing. And then it's almost like I actually describe that in the book as well, that my main character writes the same way, that he says he just has to be present and it just flows. And that's how it is for me, to be honest. Like, I wish I could say some techniques or whatever, but honestly, I don't even know what I'm doing. I sat down and I'm writing, and then the book was done. So I mean, it's not great. It's not that crazy.
It sounds organic, and it sounds as if you enjoy it and it's natural, and that must come over in a book rather than something to be arduous. You really enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was so much fun. I couldn't wait to get home and write the next chapter, to be honest. Like, it was such a joy. And at first, like, writing screenplays was kind of boring to me. And I also got to say, I think writing the book was kind of a rebellious move, because anybody who's involved in the film industry knows that it takes a lot of time, a lot of people to say, okay, yeah, you can do that. And I got tired of that. So that's why I decided to write a book, because I didn't need anybody for it. I just sat down and I decided to do it. And also, I can write stuff that I couldn't make, like couldn't do in a movie or something like that. So yeah, that's how it all happened.
I mean, I can really get that, because it sounds from what you're saying that you are a creative. And the thing is, the one thing that creatives don't like, and I know this myself, is when you've got to almost put it past a committee, which is script writing often can be, can't it? Screenwriting.
Absolutely. And people have to like green light a budget and stuff like that. And in a book, you can just go crazy. You can do whatever you want. There's no budget restrictions. And that's why I already know this is not going to be my last book. In fact, I have the next one already in my head, because like you said, I'm breathing creativity. There's no other way to say it. It sounds so cheesy, but it's true. That also everything I do, I mainly do because I want to create something I want to consume. That's always my standard. And if other people like it, that's amazing. But honestly, if nobody would like it, I would still do as much stuff as I'm doing right now, to be honest.
And I guess as well, the screenwriting brought a discipline that you had that discipline, because writing is very disciplined, isn't it? So you obviously had the advantage to be able to bring that to the book already.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. And also I think filmmaking in general, because you have to be done with one step to approach the next one. So I think after making my first film, that is a thing that helped me in so many levels, even with music too. I know so many people that work on a track for months. And since I have this thing, I have to be done with a cut to do the sound design. You know, it's the same with writing. So I don't know. There's not really many ideas that I don't finish because of that. So yeah, it's definitely very disciplined and helped me with writing the book for sure.
Your career itself, these are subjects that you know about. You're involved with picture making, also music. So tell us a little bit about your own background.
Yeah, so I started making music when I was only 12 years old on my computer. And then I was actually a DJ and music producer for a long, long time as my job. So I would tour throughout Europe, DJing every weekend and then producing music throughout the week. And then at some point I kind of got tired of it because I've been doing it for, I don't know, 12 years or something. And then through serendipity, I would say I ended up in the film industry a little bit. I won an award for a film concept. Then I had to make it. And then that movie actually led me to Los Angeles because film festivals over there wanted to screen it. So I went over there for the first time. And then at some point in a very organic way, I ended up moving there, you know, because it just became more and more film festivals and more opportunities. So I was like, okay, it's just the logical thing to do that. So that's how I ended up there. And yeah, a lot of experiences are in the book now. But
I mean,
but
fantastic.
I gotta say, even though there is autobiographical stuff in my character, especially towards like the middle of the book, I wanted to go further into a very different direction. So I would not say I'm definitely not the main character. Let's say it like that.
Okay. So we'll get that straight. This is definitely based on your experiences, the location, but you are definitely not this character.
I am not. No, there are some similarities, but like, especially the drugs and all that, I can definitely say, and everybody who knows me, that's not me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a fantastic book. It's a fantastic read, and the whole premise and the way that we see your main character deal with the things that are kind of thrown at him, or the life that he's living is fantastic. And the fact that you live in LA, it also gives you a unique background to be able to talk about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially when him and his best friend moved to LA the first time, it's like, this experience to just show up there with your own perception of the city but then seeing it through your eyes for the first time and all, I wanted to really deliver that when somebody who has never been there kind of feels like, okay, I'm also arriving there for the first time and seeing all these landmarks that you only know from movies and TV shows and all that. Cause that is a big thing. I mean, we all have seen LA so many times, and in a way you feel like you know it already, but then you get there and you're like, okay, you do know it to a degree, but then there's definitely a lot of things that you don't know about, like the Walk of Fame, for example. Like, it's in our heads, it was projected as this, I don't know, this cool place, but it's a dirty street with just, I think it's the gates of hell is right there.
I mean, that's really interesting, because and of course the thing is, when you see it on television, the camera is only focusing on the main thing, so the Walk of Fame, the handprint or whatever, but as you say, the disillusionment slightly then that there's actually a filthy street.
Absolutely, yeah, it's crumbling when you look behind, like when you peek behind the curtain, you can definitely see there is like people trying to make it appear that way.
I mean, it's almost, I suppose, the facade of a movie set, isn't it? You see the front of a building, but there's actually no back to it.
Absolutely.
It's that kind of facade, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's a great analogy for that. Absolutely. That's in a way, that's a lot what LA is about, but also there are other like beautiful things that we don't know about, you know? So, I mean, at all, you know, every place has their pros and cons, I think. And I love the city. So I would say, even though I am talking about the negative sides as well, I also talk a lot about the positive sides. Absolutely.
And what does it feel like to you personally? I mean, this is a dream come true. So how does it feel to be living this life for you?
I don't even know if I was dreaming about it, to be honest. Mm. And I think that's what I meant with it was kind of organically. I ended up there, which also made it less scary, because a lot of people are like, oh, this is so brave that you moved over there. But honestly, I never had the moment of like, oh, I'm going to drop everything and just go there. I just spend more and more time there. And then at some point I was like, oh, I guess I need an apartment and a visa. But of course, I love it. And it definitely has more opportunities than my hometown ever had. But at the same time, it also makes me appreciate other things about my hometown. So being in Germany right now is actually really cool. I was kind of like, oh, I want a summer in Europe. So I think I'm just very grateful for that. That, I guess, is the real dream, is having two places that when one place is kind of, you're kind of over it for a bit, then you can just check out and go to the next place. And I think that really is I'm grateful for it all. Absolutely. And that I can have those experiences in two different places that are so opposite from each other. And because here I was always the dreamer, the crazy person. In LA, I'm just another guy with ideas, you know?
I mean, it sounds like you're living a great life, and I can really understand that idea of having two places. I can really understand the appeal of that. We wish you all the best with your book. And can you tell us where we can purchase it?
So the book is available everywhere that sells books, actually, like worldwide. You can get it on Amazon. Of course, that's a easy place because they have it in stock, Barnes & Noble, everywhere. There's an audiobook. There will be a German version by the end of the year. And get all the versions, Kindle, audiobooks, it's all available.
Why not? Daniel, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure to talk to Daniel Ruchko about his fantastic new book, which is called Pieces of a Broken Mind, available in all your good bookstores and, of course, online at Amazon.